And my name is Johan. I'm the lead pastor of this church, and it's just my great privilege to be sharing God's word this morning. And you know, we are in just started last week a brand new series that I've entitled "The Art of Loving Well." And so this series is all about love. How many of you need to hear a little bit more of love? Okay, we need to upgrade our love, and this is called the art of loving well, because simply I believe that we've received so much from God, and love is a skill that we need to develop. It's a painting. When we do a painting, it's artwork, and so it's a skill that we develop, and I really pray that through this series that God will help you to become a better lover, all right? I believe that you can either be a lover or a luster. So luster is something selfish, something that we just want, but being a lover is something that's selfless, it's something that we receive, and my prayer is that really we will get an understanding of who God is, that He is the lover of our soul. And so I want to just share a little bit about, because this is about love. I found one of the love of my life about 10 years ago, actually. Last month, 10 years ago, I was at a church service, our Every Nation Church in Dublin. I had the privilege of starting that church in 2002. And so in 2009, my friend was preaching that morning. And so afterwards, it was his first time preaching. And so he said to me afterwards, he said, "Johan, how did my message go?" I said to him, "Bro, I could not remember a word you said." And he said, "Was it that bad?" And I said, "Look, I'll listen to it in podcasts and give you some feedback. But the reality is I was distracted on my left wing, because there was a lady from the USA that made an appearance there. And I just could not keep my eyes focused. Well, I was keeping my focus on Jesus. But just about that morning, it was very, very difficult for me. And so briefly, Andrea, I introduced myself, went over to her and you know, she was just passing through. And so we had a little bit of a, you know, just kind of, you know, have a short conversation. And then she got me on Stalkerbook, okay? How many of you know Facebook, Stalkerbook? So I was in London at the time, and I was praying. I said, "Lord, where's my wife? I need a wife. I need help. I'm in ministry. You know, it's not meant for man to be alone." And so I remember getting, and when I went for this retreat, you know, that Monday morning, I got a message, and it was from a certain lady called Andrea Eberhardt. And so she sent me a message, and it's not like Andrea. If you know Andrea very well, she's not just a person that will, you know. And so she prayed about it, but she just could not get me out of her mind. So, you know, we were just interacting, as her mom called it, love at first Skype. Okay, because we spend a lot of time on Skype, hours and hours, and so it was just wonderful how God brought us together. You know, we've learned so much, and you know, I remember just when she came to South Africa, it was the second time I've seen her in 3D. And so one of my friends is a prophetic voice. He said, "You know, your wife will come, you'll know it's her, and you guys will get married soon after that." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to put that on ice, you know." And so it happened when she came to South Africa. I was standing there with like flowers, and I was shaking like this, and at arrivals, and I just had this peace of God that came upon me. And so we had 10 days. We went to a wedding, and it was just so much fun. And after 10 days, I said to her, "Hey, let's get married." Okay. So I want to advise you, unless God has told you. Okay. So that was the fast forward, shorter version of our story, but we've been on a journey together. 3 kids later. 2 church plants, and we just love God, and you know, we just want Him to be the center of our marriage. And I know we've got a newlyweds here with us this morning, Raymond and Eileen. Come on, let's give a hand. They got married in the Philippines just as they say, a wee while ago, just very recently. And so, and I just love what God's doing. You know, whether you're single, whether you're married, God has got a plan for your life, but it's where we allow the lover of our soul to come in. And when we got an understanding of who God is and what He wants to do through our life, friends, there's no limits. And you know, the theme of this series is changing your relational climate. Changing your relational climate. And that's what I really believe God is going to do. He's got a desire for us as believers to get understanding of the love language. How many of you know that heaven's got a love language? And that is what God wants us to understand, that there's in heaven, you know, there's perfect unity. Love abides. It is a beautiful place. You can just imagine what heaven's like. We can read about it in the scriptures. But I believe that God wants to manifest that love here on this earth. And I believe as in the way he does it, friends, is through us as a church. And you might notice that we called every nation because we love every tribe and we love every nation. And we love God and we love people. And it's what it's about. And so, and then I believe through us, he wants to manifest this love on this earth. And that people will encounter this love. Because this love is a powerful force. It has the ability to change and transform lives. It has the ability to change atmospheres. And I believe that this love is going to change the relational climate that we see in this church and in this nation. And so I'm excited just to share with you this morning on just a few things and truths as we just look at what the scripture says. And there's some things that God wants us to apply to our lives because he wants us to become better lovers. You know, some of us might be lousy lovers. You know, you found it difficult to keep your love on, to love some unlovable people out there. And there's some difficulty that your love life is challenged. You're very challenged at this moment and stretched in many ways in relationships. I believe that there's a big problem out there in the world right now. There's a lot of talk on Sky and on TV. You might have read a lot of it about this word called global warming. There's a global warming that many will say there's a lot of things that adds to the atmosphere. Now, if you believe in it, I'm not personally a green campaigner, okay? Although I do my part for recycling and I've reduced my barbecues from 20 till 10 during the year. And so I'm doing my part. And so a lot of people say there's a lot of things that adds to the global warming, whether you believe it or not. But I believe, friends, there's a far greater problem in this world right now than global warming. And I want to call it a cooling. There's a global cooling problem. You know, Jesus famously quoted this in Matthew 24 verse 10. If you've got your Bibles with me this morning, I've got mine here on my iPad. All right. So it says here in Matthew 24 verse 10, and this is what Jesus quoted. And he says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Friends, this is the reality right now, that there's people that their love for each other is growing cold. I know of a few parliaments right now that is pretty cold. We've got just one just up the hill here. It's and the relational climate is very cold right now. I believe that every place that you go has got a relational climate. Whether you go to your school, to the parliament, to the hospital, or wherever you work, there's a relational climate. And what it says here, that in these days that we're living in right now, this is what Jesus said. In these days that lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. And I believe that he's called us, friends, to play our part, to change the atmosphere. Through us, he's called us, through us, the heaven will manifest. The temperature of heaven will manifest through us. And that we can, I said last week, you know, we can either be a thermometer or a thermostat, okay? Two different things. A thermometer tells you what the temperature is, but a thermostat tells you and it changes the climate, the temperature. And I really pray that we'll be thermostats in our worlds. Whether you find yourself, whether you at the hospital, where you at your classroom, and whatever you're facing right now in relationship, because I believe that love is the ideal climate in which relationships can flourish. This is what God wants us to remind us of this morning, that love is the ideal climate which relationships can flourish. And as you see that winter is upon us, and you know, we're turning on the central heating. Many of us, if we have a cooling problem, it's a natural problem, but I believe it's a spiritual thing. You know, we can crank up the central heating in our homes, and that will bring some heat. It will change the climate in your home. But friends, I want to ask you, what does your home look like right now? What does some of your relational climates look right now? What are the things? Where do you need to change the atmosphere a little bit? What how do you need to? And this is what I want to help you with this morning. We're going to look at the art of engaging well. Because I believe God is want you to play your part and how you can add to the climate, the relational environment that you live in. And I believe everything flourishes when the environment is healthy. You know, we want that. You know, we can say that, I can certainly say, I don't come from a perfect family. My family is a beautiful Christian family, but it ain't perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, there ain't any perfect churches in this city. This church is not perfect. But I think there's a need for us to become better at relationships. And this is Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. Wonderful man. Has experienced so much in his life. Transformation happened, you know, on his way to persecute the church. He had an encounter with Jesus. And he was persecuting the church. And he encountered the presence, the power of God came upon him. And so he was changed. And, you know, God changed his name from Saul to Paul. And so in this, you know, there was a change of heart. Something happened. It was no longer Paul that lived, but Christ that lived in him. There was a transformation that happened on that road. And this is what he wrote. And he started a few churches in his life. A great church planter. You know, we love church planting. We love the nations. And he was, you know, he experienced so many different cultures. So many different relational climates that he entered in. And it was quite a challenge for Paul. But this is what he wrote to the church of Philippi. I'm going to read this from the Message translation. As I said last week, it's good to try different translations, okay? Don't just stick to the one. I love words. I love it. God has got such a way of just expressing things and through different translations and words. So this is what the Philippians 1:9 says, and I read here, "So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere." So it's not just a head thing, but it's also a heart thing. He said here, "Test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental and gush. And I love this part. It says, live a lover's life. Circumspect, exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of. Bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God." I love that first. And first thing that Paul writes here in what he mentions here further down, it says, live a lover's life. You say to me, "Hon, what is that like? What, how can I live a lover's life? I want to change. I want to become a better lover, but it's so difficult." Friends, I believe that you cannot give something that you've not received. And I believe a lot of us here today have grown up in different relational environments, different cultures. We're so different. I love that of every nation. And you might have a relational culture environment in your home where you have not received the love that you wanted from your father. And this is where we looked, and this is what Chrissy touched on this morning, but our Father is perfect. He's that perfect example. I've said this before, what we know and believe of God will determine that we either run to Him or from Him. If you believe that He's an angry God, you will not want to get close to Him. But if you believe that He's a loving, caring God, you want to embrace that. That is who He is. You want to jump on His lap and say, Lord, I love You. Because this is the message. This is who He is in His essence. And so for us to live a lover's life, we need to take hold of this love that the Father offers. There's a lot of different love out there. There's the agape love, the phileo love. And there's what He called the eros love. That erotic love, it's what people, you know, I believe that we were created to be loved. But the sad thing is that we're looking for love in all the wrong places. And it's only what God can fill in our hearts. That's what He is, and that's who He wants to be to us. And then secondly, Paul says here, Paul's prayer is that our love will flourish and that we will love well. Friends, that's my heart. You know, as you position yourself in the right environment, and if you change the relational climate, I believe you will flourish. Because where love flourishes, there you will flourish too. And then it says that we will love well. So it's a language that we need to get hold of. How do we communicate that? There's so much I can share this morning. And how to communicate God's love. And that's the revelation, the understanding of what we need to get hold of is how does God communicate His love to you? And it might be different. There's just times that I feel so inadequate. I feel sometimes, my goodness, there's so much going against my family. There's moments that we've just experienced over the last couple of years, and not to become a victim, but there's just something, sometimes I just need to go back to the scripture and say, what does my Heavenly Father think of me? What is He saying to me right now? There's a lot of voices, as you notice in the world right now, a lot of voices that will say, you this, you that, these voices wants to define you. But this is what the word, what does. This is where I find my identity is in who God is and what He's saying to me. And He's saying to me, I love you, my son. Sometimes that's all I get out of my quiet time. It's all I need. It's just to be heard, to hear again, I'm loved. How many of you have received that from your daddies and your mommies? Not, and there might be a few here that said, I've not. I wanted that. I wanted to sit on my daddy's lap and I wanted him to embrace me, but you haven't received that. But I just pray that this morning that you will experience the Father's embrace in whatever situation you're in. And then thirdly, he says, make Jesus Christ attractive to all. Make Jesus attractive to all. And that is who He's called us to be, is His children. And so we're part of His family. If that's our daddy and that's who He is, that He wants us to become. There's something that He wants us to imitate. And Jesus is our perfect example. He's the one that we are called to imitate. And as we start to spend time with Him and hear what He's saying about us, it becomes easier to live Him like Him. To live out that love that He offers us. And so I really pray that we as believers will become so attractive to this world that they can just see Jesus. When they come into this place, it's not difficult for them to find Jesus. They don't have to go through these loops and to get to Him. Then they see us, they see Jesus in us. That's who He's called us to be. And I believe, friends, that God wants to showcase our relationships to this world. He wants to showcase us. He wants to say, that is my family. That church, every nation, that's my people. That's my son. That's my daughter. Look at her. I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of him. I believe God boasts about us. That's who he is. And so God wants us to cultivate, meaning cultivate is grow that culture. Cultivate that culture. Cultivate a Jesus-loving culture in this city. Because this city needs that love. It's people's love that's grown cold. In neighborhoods, all around. I even know in our own neighborhood, there's been divorces. There's been so much hurt and so much pain just from relationships. We had our kids' party yesterday and just parents going through so much. And so God just wants us to be that example. And so friends, this morning, I just want to share with you the art of engaging well. You know, because God has created us for relationship. We've been created by the universe to connect, first and foremost with him, and then with others. He's a relational God. Did you know that of God? He's relational. There's relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're just communicating. They just love each other so much. And the same when we understand about how healthy relationships is done, and that is that's the best example that we have right there. And I believe that relationship does not have to be complicated. But the reality is that it is, okay? It's not easy. You know, when we live in the same house, you know, you've got your roommate or you've got a flatmate, and you know, we are stretched because we come from different environments. We come from different backgrounds, and we've grown up in different homes and cultures. And so it's understanding, you know, I think the common denominator is the heaven's language. When we understand the heaven's language, that's where, because I believe that this love can break and go through different cultural barriers. It has the ability to change. And so it is complicated. And so we want to help you to make this less complicated. This morning, I've shared this. I've done quite a few weddings in my life and ministry, and I've shared this one a couple of years ago at a wedding. I did a wedding earlier in South Africa as well. It says, some say that in the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. In the second year, the woman speaks and the man listens. And in the third year, they both speak and the neighbors listen. I hope that's not the case for you, Raymond and Eileen, as you guys have just moved in together. I'm sure that's not. And that's not always the case, right? You know, we just hope that we can keep our love on. And the relational climate is different in our homes. But that's what we reflect. That's been people, when God puts us on display, people, you know, I just so glad some of you are not my neighbors sometimes. Hearing some of the screams that come from our homes, or the kids don't want to go to bed, or they don't want to go, and anyway, let's leave that for another day. Grace, okay? But friends, it comes really God brings understanding of people that we engage with. We want to know each other better, and it comes over a period of time. Now I'm almost, it will be next week, I'll be married for 9 years. I've learned a bit, but there's so much more to learn. I mean, Pablo, how long have you guys been married? 42 years. Yeah. Yeah. And so Steve, 40 years. And you can say, honestly say, you guys are learning every day. Something new, challenge, stretch, still stretched, or is it just smooth sailing? Honest. I love the honesty. Yeah, there we go, Steve. Yeah, yeah. So friends, yeah, it's challenging. All right. Just want to put on that new. And so this is for guys, especially there's Christmas on its way. This is a great selling bestseller on Amazon. Please go on and order this. And this is a book for understanding women. It's finally arrived to bookstores. That's just a bit of a joke there. Don't be offended. Okay, we're dealing with relationship here. Okay, so, and I'm sure that the men's version will be that thin, right? Maybe just like one or two pages, just a brief, but it's not the case. Hey. There we go. There's a different home. You see, that's what you call a great relational climate right there. Anyway, the humor aside, okay, that's just, and so as I said, God has created us differently. And we can rub each other up in different ways, and it can make it very uncomfortable as well, especially when husband and wife doesn't get on, or it's a cousin, or it's a flatmate, or whoever, at your workplace. Simply reason, we don't understand each other. We function differently. We think differently. Some are extroverted and some are introverted. And how do we work and relate? How do we work together? And so this is what God wants to bring, is just understanding the opposite sex, but also people that are different from you. How many people you're challenged with, some people that are very different from you? Yeah. Yeah. It's stretching. It's challenging. And so I want to help you this morning to, first and foremost, to help you change your relational climate, but also for you to get hold of this kingdom language, this love language, and to communicate this to people, and you know, to really deal with some unresolved issues that we face, because I believe that this unresolved issues are like pollution. How many of you have been in a polluted city before? Yeah, just pollution, just kind of hovering. Now, I'm from South Africa. We've got a beautiful city. It's the most beautiful city in the world. And there's a beautiful mountain. Now that mountain ain't that beautiful if the wind is not always there, and it just blows away that pollution, some of the air that is just kind of hovering over the mountain. And I believe that some of our relationships are a bit like that, our homes, where the climate, the relational climate pollution occurs whenever there's conflict and there's disagreements and unmet expectations and misunderstandings. And that can just hover over homes. You know, I several years ago, this lady in our church, she asked myself and our prayer team to go and pray. It's like an SOS call. Pastor, please come and pray. You know, our house is a mess. I'm like, what? You want me to come and help and clean up? And no, it's different. There's just, you know, relational things, and it's just messy. And I remember I took our team with, and we were sitting there. And so I went around. I said, okay, everybody, are you Christians? Are you believers? And they're like, yes, we are. And it's like, do you practice it? But there was just, when I walked into that home, you know, I don't know if you ever had that sense of, my goodness, it is just, it's not just stuffy in here. There's something spiritually. The climate here is a bit off. There's a cooling problem right here. And so we started just to share. And, you know, as we went to pray, you know, you've heard me say that before, you know, she had a few idols in her home, and, you know, a Buddha and a Mary statue and a Jesus on the cross. I said, you need to choose, girl. Who are you going to choose? Okay, Jesus, you need to get rid of it. It's just my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And so these things that they've brought into their spiritual home has kind of set the spiritual temperature, right? Because we allow access. We bring these things into our home. But that was just the start of our journey, okay? There was one room. And so as we went up another room, And I said to the one lady, you know, so who lives here? No, it's my friend. She's at work right now. And I said, how's your relationship? She's like, started to cry. And she's like this. She's bad-mouthing me at work. And she is just saying I'm the worst person and gossiping. And you know, you can just, you know, she just released this emotion. It's like an emotional tank was just emptied right there. I'm like, oh goodness, I didn't expect this, but hey, keep going. This is good. You know, as we started to pray for her, this lady somehow, I think she forgot something from at home, and she came back from work. And as we were praying, she came up the stairs. I'm like, okay, Jesus, you take over here. But the reality is, like, you know, they were looked at each other, and this lady just you know, engaged in a way that was not advised. You know, it was just not inappropriate. I mean, she was just lashing out. You this, you made me feel like this. You horrible that. And she just went on. Friends, you could feel the tension in that place. And so we had a moment where we just had to look at, be reminded of our example, Jesus, and how he responded. You know, there's two ways. You can either respond or you can react. That lady was reacting out of emotion. And she just threw this on her and it was like, okay, now how do we resolve this? And I said, okay, guys, how would Jesus respond? What would Jesus do? Okay. I don't know if some of you had those little banners that you had like 20 years ago that you were wearing, and what would Jesus do? How would he respond in this moment? And so, my goodness, it was amazing. So we just started to pray. Sometimes all you can do is pray and just invite the Holy Spirit just to start ministering. And there was such healing that took place in that moment. There was a softening of heart. Forgiveness came, grace. And they just embraced each other and they looked each other in the eyes. And it was real. It was authentic. It wasn't superficial. It was like, I forgive you. I forgive you for what you've said and how you made me feel. I love you. And it just really came from a place where it was that moment when they did that. We actually broke bread together. And you know, when we did that, friends, the presence of God came upon that home. It changed the relational climate. It was tears of joy. It was just hugs going on. And, you know, it really just blew away that pollution that was settled on that home. That's what God can do. And then we have a forgiving heart and we're willing to process that relational pollution that has settled on us. And so what we have is the skill. That's what we call the art of loving well. It's a heart and it's also a skill. What is the heart and skills that we need to develop to engage well in some unresolved relationships? You know, how we engage with others will be a testimony to others. And that's so true. You know, in that moment, it wasn't, you know, because what their problem have done is kick-started at a ripple effect in that house. It can have a positive or negative. And so because of their issue, it became the home's issue. So look, we don't want to live with this type of thing. I don't want to come home and walk into this mess. I don't want this to carry on much longer because, you know, this is unpleasant. This needs to be a house of peace, a house of rest. And this is what John 3:13-35 says. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Do you know that you are being watched? Okay. You've made it public. When you post those things on Facebook, oh, Jesus loves you. Man, I love, you know, and you quote all these things. People watch and observe your life. And so sometimes what we see on Facebook might not be the reality that's going on right here. Somebody say, ouch. So it's, there's things here that we carry that might not reflect. You know, I can put something, I love my wife every once a year. It's her birthday, by the way, last Wednesday. She turned 25 now. And, you know, I can say all these beautiful things about my wife. It's amazing. And then meantime, if I'm abusing her verbally or if I'm saying things, you know, it's a different reflection. You know, I'm wearing a mask in that relationship. And so we do not know how to engage and respond well because we lack emotional maturity. I think sometimes we just, this is where God said we need to mature as believers. We grow up in Him. We don't want to stay infants. Anybody want to stay infant? I've got a few infants in my home and I don't envy. It is messy. It's noisy. And so, it's not going to go into much detail, but and we want to mature. We want to grow up. We want to become who God has called us to be. And through that, it's just not simply being hearers of the word, but be doers. You know, we can hear, this is all the right things, but are we actually doing it? Are we actually applying these principles? I mean, remember, Andrea discovered this in our very first month. You know, she moved from the States, moved in. We lived in Hove in Dublin, and all romantic. I've set up a little nest and, you know, just flowers out there. And I remember this is my first Sunday morning. I'm preaching. And I was ready. I had my Bible, my notes and everything. And I'm ready for this day. And so as we left, I locked my key, my car key in the house. And so I couldn't get in. I didn't have the house key. And so we had to get obviously take my car to get to the church. And so I had to grab, you know, and so I had a reacting moment, okay, emotional moment. I don't know if you've had that, Anthony, emotional moment where you just blow up. And my wife, and I'm not going to repeat what I said in church, but it was just one of those moments where I literally Karate Kid. Have you guys seen the Karate Kid? I went for that door and I was ready to kick it and it was just nasty. And she just looked at me and was like, what on earth did I marry? There was a relational climate moment, cooling problem right there. And so she just looked at me and I think it was just the worst, the longest drive on the bus ever. It felt like I was going to Galway. It was actually just half an hour down the road, but it was just one of those moments where I realized, hang on, there's not a lot of maturity in there. You got to respond. You cannot react that way. You know, you remember you were pastor. And she's like, Pastor Johan. You know, and so she just remind me I'm a pastor. I'm like, hang on, I am. I'm actually going to preach God's word this morning. And it was just a reality check, friends, where I'm at. You know, my love, I can grow in my love. You know, let's be honest, you know. I'm just being real with you. It's not always easy for me to keep my love on in situations, you know, that we face. And I'm sure you can relate to that. But here's are some examples and situations that the art helps with when you need to engage in a relationally healthy way to address an issue. Okay, so again, your colleague or friend did not do what you had agreed on. Your friend keeps borrowing money and promises to pay you back and does not fulfill his promise, or always leaves the house and kitchen in the mess, or never washes the bath or dishes after they used it. Sounds familiar? Come on. Yeah. A team member or friend regularly arrives late for meetings. A person that you are trying to help or disciple always cancels meetings at the last minute. Your partner spends more than you budgeted. Okay, so these are all relational kickoff moments that triggers off emotion and you want to, you know, you want to react or you want to post something on Facebook and let everybody know how this guy's let me down. Yeah, we've done that. And then you just kind of, and so sometimes when you do things in high emotion, how many of you know, sometimes we just need to let the dust settle a little bit. And it's not always the right moment to respond in the heat of the moment. Say, hey, listen, I need to spend a bit of time with Jesus. I'm just out of here for a moment. Let me just pray in the spirit for a moment and just fill my love tank a little bit. And, okay, so how can we create an environment in which our relationships, marriages, churches, and businesses flourish? Friends, I believe as we deal with conflict, it's important that you show up. Yeah, sometimes it's just not something you can avoid. You can just push to the side. You've got to show up. And secondly, will you show up well to advance the relationship? You know, there's just sometimes where even in my relationship with my wife, that, you know, that we have to have this critically important, critical conversations. You know, that we need to process and work through that. And how do we show up? You know, do we show up with the right attitude? You've heard me say this before. Your attitude will determine your altitude. How far are you going to go? And, so that can really put a limitation on your relationship. Will you show up well? Engaging well is speaking the truth in love. You know, sometimes it's not easy. I've had a few of those conversations in my early 20s. I remember I was quite messy. And when it comes to, you know, I love making food. Any chefs here, any love making food? You know, you get into the kitchen and you just passionately, you know, make pizza. I've made some pizzas and so just flour on the floor and just kind of sometimes you like so in the zone and then you're like, you forgot some of to, you know, clean up. And so I had to have one of my friends, we had to have a critical conversation. I know there's a few people smiling here that, you know, you can relate to it. But he's like, dude, you know, seriously. And I love the way he approached it because it's the tone. It's important. It's like, you know, hey, look, I love you, hey? You know, and I really care. And what I'm going to about to say is going to make your wife very happy one day. I'm helping your relationship here. And so I want you to get this. This comes from my heart. And not to offend you, but, you know, please, once you make pizza, I know you love pizza. We can all see that. But I want you to clean up. All right. I want you to wash your dishes, put it in. You know, we all just be more considerate about the people around you. And there was like a bit of a moment in me. Do you know that moment? It's like, okay, I'm about to react. Lord help. You know, but then you realize, hang on, the way this guy has just communicated to me, you know, he had the best intention at heart. He really wants to help. This is constructive. And so these were important conversations that I've had. This is what Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Yeah. How many times that words that we speak triggers off emotion when you have a conversation with somebody and just the way you said it hits, you know, and that's what this proverb mentions here. A harsh word stirs up anger. And that's when the enemy wants to get a foothold. That's where he wants to break. He hates unity. How many of you know that where there's unity, it commands a blessing? But he's not. He doesn't worry about the blessing. He just wants to destroy. Okay, moving on. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Okay, that's not always easy. How many of you are talkers and not that great at listening? Okay, so be quick to listen and slow to speak. What is the Holy Spirit saying? This is the great thing. We have a partner, another person with us. We have a counselor, and he counsels us in these moments. And Holy Spirit saying, don't say it, don't say it. Why did you say that? And so it's just be quick, be slow to speak and swift to hear. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. This is what James stresses, the importance of listening and doing. What fruit are your words producing right now? You know, are you throwing petrol on the fire? Are you provoking? Are you looking for reaction? Are you rubbing it in? Yes. And like I said before, three things. You can either be a builder, build people up with your words, your actions. Second, you can be a breaker. You can break people down with your words, harsh words. And then thirdly, you can be boring. Nobody loves boring, okay? What I mean with boring is like you just walk past the situation and you do nothing to change the relational climate. You don't do nothing to change that relationship. And so, friends, don't be boring. Don't be passive. Okay, so, and then moving on. So there's another one that I found as well in conversation. Sometimes we need to quit lying. Okay, and I mean like, you know, we sometimes tell lies, things that, you know, we say things, but we don't. For instance, my wife, and to use her as an example, I know she can use her. She's up here, believe me, she will tell you a lot of things. But, you know, there's moments in our relationship where I would ask her, Andrea, how are you doing? How's things? And she's like, it's fine. You know, and then we continue, but I know that the relational climate is not where it should be. It's not at the desired climate. And so she got hold of that revelation. I'm actually sharing her revelation. It became my revelation, is that we need to stop, quit lying. You know, sometimes you need to say to the person, hey, what you said made me feel this way. You know, it's very helpful to express that, but in the way you do it. So, all right, so lying is so deeply ingrained in our culture, we rarely notice it. But we actually lie it all the time. You know, we lie with our words, we lie with our bodies, we lie with our smiles, and we lie with our silence. And that's the final point I want to say. Quit the silent treatment. Yeah. Sometimes it's just you people give that silent treatment. They don't say anything. But actually they need to have that critical conversation. And so that is something that is very obvious, you know, in our relationship or in relationships, you know, that the one person will just withdraw, will isolate, and they would just won't say anything. They're just not themselves, you know. Or, yeah, so those are things just to, for us friends, just to respond to and say, Lord, help us. Help me to become a better lover. You know, change my language, my love language, the way I communicate, to relate to others. Help me not to give them that silent treatment, but really help me to have these critically important conversations. Because friends, finally, God wants our relationships to flourish. That is His intention, that you will flourish in your relationship, that you will love well. And so these are all blockages. This is pollution. These are things that just come over our homes, families. I mean, I don't know what Christmases can be like. Okay, we're getting closer to that. You know, you've got that side of the family around the table. Oh, Lord, you're starting to pray like 3 months before that. But you know it's the right thing. And so it's awkward. And so there's that pollution that we want to pray it away. Sometimes you just hope it's magically just going to disappear, but it won't because there needs to be intention, needs to be intentionally dealt with. And this is how we need to sit down and have that important conversations. Let's just close our eyes. Chrissy, I just want to just pray here as we go into a time of ministry. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you this morning that you are the lover of our soul. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Thank you that you are a Father. And this morning, we, Father, just want your embrace. Lord, I know, Lord, even as I shared this morning, Lord, that there's people here this morning that is finding it very difficult. They are stretched in relationships. Lord, they are finding it hard to keep their love on. There's been so much pain. There's been moments where it's just painful, even when that person's name is mentioned. And God, I pray that you will help us, Holy Spirit, that you will come and bind up our hearts. Come and reveal Jesus to us. I pray that you will have your way in us, Lord Jesus. Have your way in us and through us. Help us to get hold of this love language of heaven through our words, through our actions, through the time that we spend with others, Lord. Help us to communicate you well to others, because you've called us to represent you, Father, in this city, in our homes. And I just pray, Lord God, for, you know, especially want to pray for marriages here this morning. Father, I pray that you'll protect these marriages, Lord. I pray that you'll restore our first love for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we cannot give what we have not received. And I pray that you'll fill our hearts with your agape love, Father, that we can love others freely, Lord, and well, Lord Jesus. Help us to develop this skill. Help us, Lord, to become more like you, Father. Lord, I want to just pray, Lord God, against any division and anything that wants to come between relationships in this church, Lord. And even, Father, in our own families, Lord, and extended families, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, that it's not by might, nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for quickening us, giving us ears to hear, eyes to see. And Father, I even pray as we go out from this place today that you will help us to be a thermostat at our workplace and where we go. Lord, you'll help us to change the relational temperature, God, to bring the love of Christ to our workplaces, Lord, to change that relational environments In Jesus' name, help us, Lord, to, with our words, Lord, help us to be slow to speak and swift to hear. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for your love that binds together. We thank you that your banner over us this morning is love. Thank you, God. And I just pray, Lord, that this love will just spread from this church. Will you use this love to cause a ripple effect, Lord God, on the campus in Queen's University, Father, to every student, Father God, to our communities, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for these barriers of division to come, to be broken in Jesus' name. Father, your word also says that this love casts out fear, God. I just pray, Lord, where fear has been instilled in people, Lord God, through relationships, where there has been bullying or there's been, Father, harsh words or, Father, whatever has happened, Father, we just pray that this love will cast out any fear of man in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming, for just ministering to us this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Just so appreciate that word, but there's something on the screen here that I just think is so very, very, very important. It's just that simple phrase, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I read again. It says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The beautiful thing about being a Christian today is that we are wonderfully forgiven. But you see, that is asking you to make a decision. And the decision it's asking you to make is, will you forgive? Will you forgive? Because the Lord has completely forgiven you. And you know, that goes deep inside us. And I believe that God is challenging people today. Will you actually forgive? Are you prepared to take that decision to forgive who's hurt you? I wonder if it's okay, just we might stand up and pray that. Is that all right? Let's stand up together. I just want you to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, today I decide to forgive. I decide to forgive those who've hurt me. I make that decision. Let's make that together. Lord, we want to thank you for your wonderful, wonderful forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that we're washed, we're cleansed, we're forgiven. And today, Lord, in your presence, make this personal. Today, Lord, in your presence, I decide in your holy presence to forgive those who've hurt me. Let's make that real. Lord, I decide to forgive those who've hurt me. And you see, when we make that decision to forgive, it just opens us up to all the grace and all the love that flows from the Father heart of God. It just opens up a new channel in our lives for the love and presence of God to flow into us. So you made that decision today. You can know that God will flow into your life with his grace, his mercy, and his blessing.
Thanks, Steve. Let's sing a song. End off with a song this morning.